2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the final three verses of this short letter from Paul to the church in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 16 through 18 will be our text here this morning, where Paul writes, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write these greetings with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And Father, we ask your blessing on these few verses as we take them to heart. They are words of conclusion, and yet they give us a great vision for the future. And so I do pray that we would learn, that we would grow, we would yield. Father, work in our hearts. And I do pray that we would see the truth would guide us, direct us, and free us to live faithfully for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus, our Lord of peace. Amen. Obviously, Paul is wrapping up his letter here to the church that he helped to establish in Thessalonica. He has loved on them, he has confronted them, he has encouraged them, and he has instructed them. This would be an important message for them to pay attention to. They would be wise to heed the letter and not neglect, not abandon the message that he has delivered to them. After all, that was a common trait among those who were actually troubling this congregation. They were unteachable. They rejected truth. They were, in many ways, even those who professed Christ, they were undisciplined. And so as Paul has addressed some issues, he has answered some questions, he has talked about some concerns, we have seen some truths that he has either directly or indirectly taught them along the way. So as he has been addressing specific issues in the church of Thessalonica, there have been principles that we have been able to extract based on what he is teaching to them. And so this morning, before we address these three verses, because you know that won't take us very long, what I would like for us to do is I'd like us to review what we have extracted from his letter. Here is what Paul has laid on the Thessalonians as a means of trying to bolster their commitment to walk with the Lord during some very trying times. So over the last 6 months or so, this is what we have seen. These are some points of leverage that we have seen Paul laying on these people, and they can be of great help to us. Okay? So, first of all, we have the first three that we looked at here up on the screen. Beginning with verses 1 and 2 of 2 Thessalonians, you are under God's authority, so do not forget who he is. As you look at verses 1 and 2, you say, well, that's just a simple greeting. No, but there's truth in that greeting for us to learn, for us to grow by. What do we see? We see that it is God who called us. It is God who redeemed us, who saved us, who commissioned us. It is God's church because the church is made up of God's people. Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, Thessalonians, people in Wausau, Wisconsin, all mutually under the God of heaven. No hierarchy, no special rights because one is better than the other. Sure, we have different roles, we have different responsibilities, but we are one, brothers and sisters, united under the loving care of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not forget, friends, as we go through our lives, do not forget that God rules, No matter who a person may be, no one is greater than him. It is the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul even goes on to greet them, grace to you and peace. Not because I've sent this word of blessing, not because I've been an encouragement to you, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You are under an authority. Do not forget who he is. Number two, you are a member of God's family. This is leverage. This is what Paul is laying on them to help them walk with him along the road of life. You are a member of his family. Don't forget who you are. Who are they? They're brothers and sisters in the family of God. God is for them because they're family. And the love for Father and his family runs deep in them. Friends, do you love the Father? Do you love your heavenly Father who watches and cares for you as a member of his family? They are also brothers and sisters alongside the Holy Son, Jesus. In fact, they have been made holy as Jesus is holy when his righteous, pure blood was exchanged for their sins. That's what made them brothers and sisters. It's not because they signed a piece of paper. It's not because they said, hey, I think we should get together and call us the First Church of Thessalonica. No, it's because God had saved them and adopted them in to his family. Paul is laying this on them. Hey, believers. Hey, friends in Thessalonica. Hey, brothers and sisters in Wausau, Wisconsin, remember, we are under authority. It's God's authority. And we are a part of his family. Don't forget who you are in him. Number three, you carry a testimony of a changed life. This ought to make a huge difference in answering the questions, who am I and why am I here? You carry a testimony of a changed life, so don't forget what he has done. What Paul is doing is building on truth. Not only are they in God's family, not only are they joint heirs with Christ himself, but God has saved them and is using their redeemed lives to further his message. And that continues on to this day. If you are with us on Wednesday nights for our study on the course of your life, here's what we're seeing. We're seeing that God has had a plan all through the ages. God is at work. Nothing escapes his attention. And so, yes, you're under his authority. Yes, you're a part of his family as a child of God, one who has trusted Christ as Savior. But you also carry a testimony. He has done something, and that message is meant to continue on. Paul is reminding the Thessalonians, he's reminding us that our lives are not done. We're not washed up. Thessalonians, you haven't missed anything. God is still changing them for their own good and using them for his glory through the saving of others. And my friends, God wants to use you and he wants to use me in the same way. Your job is not done because you are still here on earth. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I've served the Lord here, I've served the Lord there, my times of service are done. That's bad theology. You are here on this earth to make a difference for Christ as long as you're here. You say, wait a minute, I don't have the strength. God will give you the strength to do what he has called you to do. This is truth. You are under his authority. You're a member of his family, and you carry the testimony of a changed life. What else has Paul leveraged on them? A couple of other important truths. Verses 5 through 12 of chapter 1. You have a judgment to look forward to. Don't forget what he will do. If God's not done with you, God's not done yet with his plan either. He's still working. Life gets difficult. Paul is not neglecting that. He's not turning a blind eye to that. He knows it experientially. He knows life gets difficult. But God wants us to remember that there is coming a day when life on this earth will be finished and every person will face a judgment. Those who reject Christ, there is a judgment that is coming to eternal damnation. But for those who are believers, the judgment that awaits is a judgment unto eternal life and eternal worship. The epic relief of all suffering on this earth comes when our Lord Jesus is revealed a second time. Those who say, "What is your purpose in life?" and they say world peace, will never, ever, ever attain their goal if it is not a message of world peace through Jesus. It sounds noble. It sounds like it's, oh, what they're so selfless. Selflessness is turning the eyes of all to the one who provides ultimate peace. Jesus is coming not as a sacrificial lamb like the first time, but as conquering king and judge. There is a judgment to come. And that is wonderful news for believers. God is faithful. And that is wonderful news for unbelievers as well. Because as the truth is leveraged on them, they can say, wait a minute, if there's judgment coming, how can I be ready? Number five, you have a truth to guide you. You have a truth to guide you. Don't forget what he has promised. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, Paul encouraged his friends about the rapture of the church and then the coming day of the Lord. The day that is coming is to be a message of hope. It's to be a message of comfort. There is a blessed hope of the rapture, of the church meeting the Lord in the air. There is hope in the fact that we are currently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He's known in this passage as the restrainer. And we are being used by Him to restrain evil so that more can hear of the good news of Jesus. This is truth, and this ought to make a difference in how we live. The restrainer lives in us. And so, church, there is coming a day when the church will be no more on this earth. And what a horrible day that will be. Because the role of the Holy Spirit changes drastically at the rapture. But there is a message of hope here. You are under God's authority. You are a member of His family. You carry a testimony of a changed life. You have God's plan, the judgment to look forward to, and you have a truth to guide you all along the way. You have a relationship that you are in. Don't forget who walks with you. Chapter 2, verses 13 through 16, friends. We are living with a God who loves us and has proven it. He has proven it in His plan of salvation. He has proven it in providing His church who will walk with us and continue to do so until His time of the church is done. And He has proven His love in a future bright and clear in the glory of Christ. Friends, when your perspective gets skewed, and it will, when the darkness grabs hold, when your mind begins to spiral, when the pain seems too great, leverage God's relationship with you on your life situations. Remember God's rescue plan. Remember His promised presence to comfort your hearts and to establish you in every good work. He is faithful. You have a relationship that you are in. It is a relationship with the God of heaven. Don't forget who it is that walks with you. And then last week, final point of leverage, you have a job to do. You have a life to live. So don't forget that truth that He has given. chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. What was the message? It was heed the truth of the word. As a body of believers, we are to help one another walk in a way worthy of the gospel, worthy of the scriptures that have been given to us. And that would be a life that's consistent with God's teaching. Don't neglect the clear, orderly life demonstrated by obedience to the truth that is taught to you. God's people live God's way. Now we come to those final three verses. Verse 16, now Paul says, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Because there is always the possibility of hostility and animosity when humans are involved. At bare minimum, irritation or misunderstanding, right? You've been well-intentioned, you think you communicated clearly, total misunderstanding, and the irritation that follows, right? We know it well. So because there's always that possibility, Paul requests that the God of peace grants that very same rest, that quietness of heart to the church. May the Lord of peace, the Lord where peace originates, there is no turmoil with him. He is the God of quietness of heart. So this God, this Lord of peace, as he is peace, may he give you that peace. On the night when Jesus was born, what was part of that message? Those few words that the angel came with. It was a message of peace, wasn't it? See, with the introduction of God's promised Savior, there could finally be peace like human beings had never known. So notice the words of Scripture. Here are Jesus' own words, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Now, why could he do that? Because he is the God of authority. He is the God with whom peace originates. And he says, peace, I leave it with you. I can do this. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We're given more understanding of that peace as we read through the Gospels and then into some of the epistles. And so we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, what is the result of being made right with God? It is peace. Whose peace? It's his peace that he's given. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes through Jesus. This is why the angel could say, I bring you peace, a message of peace. It is a peace that originates with the one who is peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Show of hands, how many of you have known the peace when human wisdom said worry? It surpasses all understanding. And it guards our hearts and minds so that we don't flip out. Right? It's the message of the Old Testament which says there's great peace given to the one whose mind is stayed on the Lord. What does a collar stay? I don't have it. I have buttons today. But what does a collar stay do? It's a little piece of plastic or cardboard or metal sometimes in the collar that prevents it from flipping out. God gives us peace in the person and work of the Lord Jesus to help to guard our hearts and minds so that we don't flip out. This is what God does. He knows us, doesn't He? He knows us well. We are prone to flipping out. And He says, be at peace. So then you are now, believer, you are now in Christ. You are enabled to live how? Colossians 3, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Well, you have it. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, believer. So now that you have the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful that the God of peace lives within. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, as much as depends on you, live peaceably, put that peace into action, live at peace with all men. How's this going to happen? I find it interesting here in verse 6 where he says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. We'll touch on that in a minute. The Lord be with you all. The Lord be with you all. Here's what we already know. We know that the Lord is with us in presence, right? All right, Hebrews 13, 5. He himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He's always with me. So we know that he is always with us in presence. The Lord of peace be with you all. Is Paul saying, God, I know you've said your presence would always be with us, but maybe it won't be, so please don't leave. He's not talking about presence here. There is great assurance that God will never abandon his children. So the prayer here is not asking God to never abandon. It's working off the knowledge that God has already revealed. The prayer here is asking God to help the followers of Jesus live in that knowledge, live in that reality. The reality that says, no, I can counsel myself in this situation. My God is here. My God is here. The Lord is with me. I must call that to mind. The fact of the matter is that if I am a follower of Jesus, I will never, ever, ever be left alone by the God of heaven. The prayer here is that I would actually live in that reality. Bring to remembrance the weightiness of the fact that God is here, that God knows, that he understands, and yes, that he is at work when my eyes can't see. This is what will bring actual lasting peace at all times and in every way. Did you see that, believer? May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at most times, when you most need it, no, at all times, and in every way. Do you see the possibilities here, believer? Tumultuous times will come. As long as we are in this world, tumultuous times will come. Yet there is a confidence that we can have in the journey. The God of peace walks with us. And as we call this to mind, our souls can find rest and be settled in his care. It's why the psalmist of the Old Testament said, be still. It's why God communicated to him to know that he is God. To know him is a settled heart, to rest in him. You see, yeah, but life is still tumultuous. The implication here for the Thessalonians, you can actually live like this. Paul, again, he's writing experientially. He knows the turmoil of life. He knows the pain of life. He knows what it means to have people turn their backs on him, just like his Lord Jesus knew. And the command is to live at peace. Lord, Lord of peace, would you give that peace at all times and in every way? Lord, be with them. Help them to call to mind your faithfulness. Friends, that is a message for us because that God is our God. He hasn't changed. He's the same. And so this small group of believers is more like this small group of believers than they are different. They still have struggles and they need the Lord of peace. And you and I need the Lord of peace. And the good news is, Paul is saying, he's here. He's here. Remember him. Walk with him. Now, verse 17. Interesting. Very personal. He says, I, Paul, I write these greetings with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It's the way that I write. So, for most of this letter, someone else has been penning. It's hard for us to even see it because we have a typed, you know, we have a typeset. But as they were looking at the original letter, they see a method of writing, a handwriting. What do you call it? Whatever you said. You understand what I'm saying? Like my mom. I know my mom's writing. She's a left-handed person. And when I see my mom's writing, I say, that's my mom's writing. I know it. And if my dad signs Linda Juvenal at the bottom, I say, wait a minute. Okay? I see the difference. And that's the idea here in verse 17. Paul says, someone else wrote all of this. But he says, this greeting I wrote with my own hand. He said, give me the pen. And whether it was shaky or messy or whatever, it was unique to Paul. And they said, that is Paul. He wrote this to us. You say, what's the big deal? Why get all mushy-gushy at this end and sentimental? Because there were imposters. There were people saying, hey, we're going to write this and we're going to pretend we're Paul. And they could look at that letter and they said, that's him. Paul assures them that it is indeed him that is writing. He actually signs it. And then in verse 18, he ends the way he began this letter. It is the word grace. It is how he started it in verse 2. Author Randy Alcorn, in his article, The Grace and Truth Paradox, he says this, God's grace didn't get us along and then leave us to get by on our own works. Grace didn't just justify us in the past. It sustains us and yields peace in the present and will deliver us in the future. We are in constant need of God's grace. And Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. He's living in it, and he knows it. They are to call, bring it to remembrance, and live in it and know it. And friends, you and I are to live it and know it as well. God's grace. Amazing grace, sufficient grace, powerful grace, daily grace given to us by the God of peace who wants us to know his presence. Let's wrap up with this. Believer, how do you process the truth that has been laid before you? Who is it that rules your heart when all around your soul gives way? We sing it, He then is all my hope and stay. Is he? When you question life, do you counsel yourself by remembering his authority, or do you forget who he is? Number two, when you feel alone, do you rehearse the truth of belonging or forget who you are? When you feel unworthy, do you counsel yourself with the truth of what he has done? When you face the myriad of decisions that we face in our lives, do you consider the future and what it holds for you in Christ? When you're tempted to question God, do you reflect on what he has promised and how faithful he has been? When relationships cause confusion, do you rely on the most stable relationship you have? Man will fail. Your husband or wife, your child, your boss, they make really, really, really bad saviors. But Jesus is here. When you don't know where to turn, do you turn to the truth that has been revealed? So often, we get disappointed with life, and in the process, we turn away from the one who holds all hope and peace. 2 Peter 1:3 says that God has given to us everything for life and godliness. This is what God has given us. This brings peace. This brings contentment. This brings purpose. This reminds us of hope. Friend, what anchors your soul? The Thessalonians were sailing a rough sea. And in Paul's final letter to them, he said, you need to be reminded of this. Because this God knows. He leverages all he has and all he is on them, his friends in Thessalonica. I trust that what Paul has leveraged on the Thessalonians would be life-giving truth to you and to me as well, to us as a church. May God be pleased with our response to the teaching and our response to the gift of his son, Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this little letter. We've been in it just for a few months. But God, I pray that it would be a letter that we return to over and over again. And I do pray that, Father, in the course of life, that you would move us to both leverage on ourselves the truth of who you are and what you've done. But God, you would give us opportunity to encourage our brothers and sisters along the same lines. It is a large reason why we have the local church. We must come alongside one another and love and encourage and confront and instruct and bear with and hear and speak and serve. All of that to see you more clearly. So, Father, use us in our families, use us as a church family, and then use us in this community to be light in a very, very dark world. If this can carry the Thessalonians through their stormy seas, it can be used to carry us and allow our testimony to shine as well. Only a holy God can do this because we're saved, made new, born again. Because of your love, We praise you and we thank you. And we can pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.